then, verse 11, the Lord will continually guide you. That's one of the things I desired from very early in my life. I say, Lord, I have only one life, and I don't want to waste it. I don't care if I don't make much money. I gave away all my money when I left my job to serve the Lord. That's not important. But I want to make use of my one earthly life in the way you wanted. When you sent me to this earth as a little baby, you had a plan for my life. I want that fulfilled. And I want to say to every single person sitting here, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, even in a very simple way, even if it was only yesterday, I want to say to you in Jesus' name that God has got a plan for your life. Take it seriously and say to yourself, God Almighty has made a plan for this insignificant, unknown little person like me. He's got a plan for my life. And that plan is basically two things: to bless me and to make me a blessing to others. That's what God told Abraham. I will bless you and I'll bless all the families you come in touch with. And do you know that promise is for us? Do you know that is why Jesus not only died on the cross, but one of the terrible things that happened on the cross was he became a curse. Let me show you that before I move on. Galatians chapter 5. If you've heard it before, you need to be assured of it again. Galatians chapter 4. Oh, I'm sorry. Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you know that God has cursed people who don't keep the law? We're all cursed because when we violated God's law. Not cursed by man, cursed by God. And Christ saved us from that curse. How? We know he died on the cross. We know he did shed his blood. But here it says, he became a curse. He actually became a curse. Why? Because you and I were cursed. So that we might be saved from it. Never forget that. And never forget to be thankful to the Lord that he saved you from being a curse. I thank God for that. And that is why he had to hang on a tree. Jesus could not die like the way Paul was killed by his head being chopped off. And some of the apostles were killed with bows and arrows and so many other ways. But Jesus could not die like that because there was an Old Testament law which is quoted here from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy 21, that anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. And that was written about Christ. And it says in verse 13, fulfilling that word, Jesus hung on a tree on the cross and became a curse. Not that somebody cursed him, he became a curse. Why? Because we had broken God's law. You meditate on that. Think about it. Somebody becoming a curse in order to save you from it. Somebody taking death in order to save you from death. I remember when I used to meditate on these things as a young man, I said, Lord, I'll be grateful to you for the rest of my life. And that's what's kept my devotion to Christ all these 60 years since I came to know him. I mean, my love for the Lord just keeps increasing because I think of how much he did for me. I don't think of how other people let me down or people accuse me. It doesn't bother me. I say, Lord, you have died for me. I owe my life to you. And I want to express that gratitude and a lifetime of service. And I want to always remember that you became a curse, that there'll never be a curse in my life. And not only the curse was removed, but it says Christ became a curse in verse 14, so that the blessing of Abraham might come to us through the promise of the Holy Spirit. So I was telling you about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the reason we can be filled with the Holy Spirit is because the curse that is on us has been removed because Christ became a curse for us. So therefore, now I can receive the Holy Spirit. And when I receive the Holy Spirit, it says here, this blessing of Abraham can become mine. So turn to Genesis 12 to see what the blessing of Abraham is. You've probably heard this before, but until it becomes real in your life, you have to hear it again. The blessing of Abraham is mentioned in Genesis chapter 12, and never forget it. In very simple words, two sentences. Genesis 12, verse 2, the middle, I will bless you. It's the greatest thing God says, I will bless you, number one. And second, the last part of verse 2, you will be a blessing. In a nutshell, that is it. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And it says in verse 3, last part, you'll be a blessing to all the families on the earth. In other words, I look at it like this. Then when Christ has removed the curse from me, he did that on the cross, and I'm really eager to be filled with this Holy Spirit, because remember we read in Galatians 3:14 that it's through the Holy Spirit that this blessing of Abraham comes to us today. So if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it will not happen. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God's blessing comes upon our life. We begin to overcome sin. And not only that, we become a blessing to every family we encounter. Every family. If I meet one family, I'll be a blessing to them. If I meet 1,000 families, I'll be a blessing to all 1,000. Not because of who I am, not because I know the Bible, but because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you that many of you know the Bible better than many of the early disciples, because they never had a written Bible. You can quote verses. Peter and John and James could not. They didn't have a printed Bible with them. But what's the use of our knowing the Bible more than them? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they accomplished a lot more than many of you who know the Bible. So don't be satisfied with Bible knowledge. When God fills you with the Holy Spirit, He'll bless you and make you a blessing to every family you meet. I think of that verse in Psalm 23, which also refers to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Psalm 23. It says there, you anoint my head with oil, verse 5. That's again a picture of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You anoint my head with oil, and this, my cup overflows from within like rivers of living water. And what will happen? Wherever I go, verse 6, wherever I go, goodness and loving kindness will follow me. That means you go into a home, and when you left the home, you have left some goodness and loving kindness of God in that home. Isn't it wonderful to live like this? You go and meet with a brother, maybe for 5 minutes, and you have left something of the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord with that person. And he's so thankful to God that he met you. Imagine if everyone sitting here was like that. That wherever you went, the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord will just follow you and you leave it behind as you go. Whether you meet a person for 5 minutes or you sit in a home for 1 hour, you have left something of the goodness and loving kindness of the Lord in that home or with that person. Like a perfume, the perfume of Christ that came forth from you and enveloped that person. I've heard of people who sit in a room with a lot of people smoking cigarettes. I actually heard this is true. And that person comes out of the room and meets somebody and He smells of cigarettes. He didn't smoke a cigarette at all. But the smoke that these other people were smoking in the room where he was sitting got into his shirt, and he actually smells like a smoker. Now that can happen with cigarettes. Why not with the aroma of Christ? That I am saturated with the aroma of Christ because I am filled with the Holy Spirit, because I take time to talk to Him every day. And everyone I meet, I leave something of the aroma of Christ. In a world where everybody is fighting and quarreling and something goes wrong, they get upset in the house, and the rest of the world is fighting for money and property and all types of things. In a world full of strife for earthly things and about earthly matters, imagine if God has a people who will spread the aroma of Christ, the loving kindness and goodness of God, wherever they go.